one of the most profound shifts happened in how I experience life, intimacy, sexuality, pleasure, and my own body when I realized that if we truly say that we desire a life of more pleasure, then we must consciously spend more time in pleasure. Pleasure is a practice and a skill that we can learn and strengthen. And aside from a deeply relaxed nervous system, an incredibly powerful catalyst for living a life of pleasure, aliveness, connection, and embodiment is choosing to cultivate your erotic turn-on and awaken your sensuous body. How we touch, hold, express, and relate to our bodies directly reflects how we show up in our external worlds. I've now spent years working with clients on exactly this and training intensively in fields such as integrative sex and embodiment coaching, sacred sexuality and tantra, somatic healing, and intimacy education. I've now channeled all of this life-changing wisdom into my program, Erotic Revival. This four-month online somatic sexual healing and empowerment immersion is truly a journey of a lifetime, and the next cohort begins this April. I'm so excited. You'll learn to use erotic embodiment, conscious self-pleasure, ritual, meditation, and somatic exploration as tools for expansion, awakening, sexual wholeness, and profound self-love. You'll activate your wildest pleasure, orgasmic potential, embodied confidence, spiritual connection, and sensual expression. This immersion includes live group calls, private coaching sessions, a private community support space, and expertly guided lessons and practices to integrate the transformation into your everyday life. You'll put theory into practice, ensuring an experiential and embodied integration of all that you're learning as you unravel all that's been keeping you from knowing, expressing, and owning your true, authentic, erotic self. We'll journey through different modules such as oceanic self-love and heart opening, awakening pleasure, desire, and sensuality, sexual healing, wildness, power, and orgasmic living, and sacred sexuality and energy play. Applications are now open for Erotic Revival, and you can learn more at bloomwithnadine.com/erotic revival, or you can find the link directly in the show notes below. There are very juicy early bird bonuses and discounts available, so I highly recommend applying now. I would be deeply honored to welcome you inside of this truly magical and transformative container, because a woman who owns her sexuality, her body, her boundaries, her expression, her truth, and her desires is a woman who owns her life. Now back to the episode. Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is. The one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Do you feel it? Hi, my love. I am so thrilled that you're here right now. I'm so honored and excited and filled up with joy and gratitude that you chose to tune into this podcast out of all the other options out there. So thank you for being here. And I truly hope that life is treating you with ease and beauty. And if that currently is not the case, then I hope that at least this podcast episode serves as even a drop of healing balm for your heart or as a permission slip to be exactly where you're at in life right now. I hope it serves as an exhale and a deeper sense of relaxation, connection, acceptance, or whatever other medicine you are needing or wanting right now. So this episode that you're tuning into is a recording of a pretty recent live stream that I did. And in this live stream, as you're about to hear, I covered a lot of ground, a lot of different topics, including how to embark on your journey of growth and personal development, spiritual awakening from this place of embodied self-love instead of self-punishment, how to unapologetically claim your desires and gain clarity on what they even are, the top three keys to healing shame, how to embody true curiosity, wonder, awe, imagination, and amazement in your life, how to show life that you're truly here, you're open, you're available, and you are an active participant, how women sometimes invalidate and erase our true feelings and downplay our worth, how our relationships are reflections of our perceived self-worth, how our self-belief determines or at least greatly impacts our destiny, how to tap into heightened states of pleasure and sensitivity, how to live your life like a video game or as a playground or a laboratory for discovery, and how to claim your sensitivity as the gift that it is, along with so many other topics. As always, please let me know how this lands for you. What are you taking away? What is resonating? You can either send me an email or preferably you can send me a DM and you can share about this episode on your Instagram stories. Make sure to tag me at I am Nadine Hamilton. It makes my day to hear from you and to see you spreading the word and just to celebrate you and shout you out. And a reminder that one of the best things you could do to support the show is to leave a review and a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It makes such a big difference and fills me with so much gratitude, and it helps the show to stay up and running and allows me to continue to bring you these episodes and these incredible guest speakers on the show. So without further ado, here is today's episode of The Sensuous. Enjoy.
Where are your actions and your expression and your decisions coming from? Especially if you consider yourself to be someone who is on a spiritual path or a healing path. It's interesting how on the surface it can look like we're doing all these amazing, beautiful things. Oh my God! Someone said, my wife loved your workshop last weekend. That makes me so happy. P.S. For anyone who didn't sign up, you can still get the replay. It was so good. It's called Soften, Unlocking Bliss Through Sensual Breast Massage, and it's just fucking incredible. Go get the replay. Hi, Ariella. I miss you. But what I was saying is to notice, like, where is that decision? Where is that expression? Where is that choice coming from? Are you meditating and doing all these courses and hiring all the coaches and doing breathwork and embodiment practices as a punishment or as a way to try to fix yourself because you think there's something wrong with you or you think you're broken and you're not good enough? Or are you doing it as this like beautiful act of self-love? Are you doing it from this place of curiosity and wanting to like suck all the juice and the nectar out of this full spectrum human experience? And part of that, or rather another big conversation that is very layered and nuanced, is around desire. So the coaching methodology that I work with for the most part is desire-based, meaning that at the very start of our coaching container, we gain crystal clarity on what is it that you truly desire. If you gave yourself full, radical, unconditional permission to want exactly what you want, without having all these little stories and voices in your head of, oh God, that's too much, that's greedy, that's selfish, or like thinking that, oh, but if I let myself want this, then it's taking away from someone else, or it's hurting someone's feelings, or what if people think, who does she think she is, or people judge me? Like, if none of that happened and you had full permission to want what you fucking want, what would you let yourself want? What would be your big, outrageous, audacious desire? So right away, we gain clarity on exactly what that is. What is your core burning, fiery desire? And then we peel back the layers on like, okay, if you were living this desired reality, who would you have to be? What would be the quality of your life and your presence and your energy? What would be the emotions that you would be feeling and expressing on a regular basis? Like beneath all the layers, what would this desire really get you? Why is this important to you? What does this mean to you? What would you get to experience, or what would you get to access because of the presence of this desired reality happening? So we peel back the layers, and then there's this whole other conversation around like, for example, someone commented on one of my posts and said, well, I always thought that spirituality means being content with exactly what you have, and that desire is bad, and I should never want more. And so what I practice and what I teach and literally how I live my life is fully, 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 unconditionally embracing every last drop of the human experience. So what would get to happen if you no longer rejected certain aspects of who you are, or you shamed them or made them repress away into the shadows, including your most outrageous desires, including all of your emotions and all of like the truth of how you feel? What if you let that have a place here and you validated it? So to me, owning and embracing and reclaiming that desire almost has nothing to do with the desire itself. The desire is simply a North Star, and it's an invitation for you to own what you want, for you to own your humanity and to own who you are. It gives you an orientation as to where you are in life, and it gives you something to move towards. And the real process of growth and transformation and self-actualization is not dependent on obtaining the desire or fixating on the desire or attaching to the desire. The real juice is everything that happens between you here and the desire. It's the journey and the process and who and what it's inviting you into. Who must you be? How must you feel? How must you love yourself and accept yourself and validate yourself and embrace and celebrate all of who you are in order for this desire to even happen? And so it gets to the point on my journey coaching clients where it doesn't even fucking matter if the desire happens or not, because you are it. Everything that you think is dependent on you getting what you want, for example, the money, the partnership, the sex, the career, the success, whatever it is that you think you want, when you become it and you exude all of the associated feelings and emotions and energy that you think is dependent on you getting the thing, it doesn't even matter if you get it. And you most likely will get it because you're a match to it. But the point is that who must you become? And on that journey, which is a lifelong journey, it never ends, can you love yourself no matter what comes up? So whether you're on a journey of healing trauma, whether you're on a journey of spiritual awakening, whether you're on a journey of calling in your dream, sacred, tantric, cosmic partnership, whether you're on a journey of sexual empowerment and reclamation, it's not about getting the thing, it's about who you must become. And it's also not about the need to eliminate any part of yourself. I say this a lot. It's a matter of fully and unconditionally and wholeheartedly embracing all of who you are. And we're going to have these moments where we fuck up and we make a mistake and we fall back into old patterns and habits. And we're like, God, why am I acting this way? Why is this coming up again? I thought I healed this. It's incredible that we live in a time where we have so much access to information and other people's voices and connecting with all these different ideas and philosophies and social media. And also it can give us a harmful narrative that we think if we're experiencing resistance or if we're experiencing a trigger or if we're falling back into old patterns, we think that that means there's something wrong. We think we just took some steps back. We think, oh God, I'm not healed enough. I need to keep doing more, I don't know, of these things. We're missing the point if that is our mindset and if that is how we're approaching this journey. Because I can't say it enough. It is a matter of your ability to hold yourself in love no matter what. And if you watched the Soften free class that I just mentioned, I incorporated that into the guided breast massage and self-love ritual of like this remembrance that until your final breath, the only guarantee is you and you. The only guarantee is yourself. You will be there with yourself on your deathbed with your final breath. Hopefully we're going to have loved ones and community or beautiful nature or whatever we cherish around us, but the only guarantee is you and you. That relationship, I have chills right now, that relationship is so unbelievably, unfathomably sacred and profound and has the potential to be so beautiful, so intimate, so tender, so meaningful. And when we take that relationship seriously, we're no longer like holding the people in our lives hostage and like projecting onto them these roles that they never signed up for and that they're not even capable of meeting or stepping up to. It's not their responsibility. Yes, absolutely. We can have partners that support us and love us. But at the end of the day, the thing that we're grasping for is ourself. The validation, the acceptance, the love, the belonging, the safety, the security. Yes, again, community and partnership and relationships that contributes to that 100%. And when we build that within ourselves, then we show up to our relationships from this place of security and groundedness and embodiment and being like, I got me no matter what. I got me no matter what. And that lets you show up to the relationship from this like, this exhaled release, because you're no longer like constantly projecting onto them like, in order for this relationship to work or in order for me to feel good about myself, in order for me to feel safe and secure, I need you to show up in this specific way. I need you to do this or say this or meet this like unrealistic expectation. It comes back to yourself. Can you hold yourself with unconditional self-love? And even when you fuck up and you have a hard time loving yourself, can you still at least hold yourself in acceptance? Can you zoom out and like recenter yourself in the universal consciousness that is within you and it's untouchable, it's ever present? Can you connect to that and like feel yourself almost like sitting back and just witnessing the part of you that is having a hard time loving you? Because if you're experiencing resistance or frustration or self-judgment or any of these things that we consider to be negative or unhealed, like always, always, always recognize that that is never all of you. You are composed of so many different parts and pieces. And that's why the human experience is so fucking crazy and confusing and paradoxical, because you can simultaneously have the capacity to feel the deepest, most painful grief and the deepest, most beautiful, tender love. You have the capacity to simultaneously feel like angry and like rageful and vengeful and also gratitude and joy. We are these multidimensional, layered, paradoxical beings. And that's why, like, I just don't resonate with people on here who are sharing, like, very prescriptive messaging, saying, like, oh, if you're experiencing this, then it means this about you. Or if you want this thing, then this is what you do. Because we are all these complex, layered creatures, and there's so many different, like, seemingly contrasting parts of ourselves. And the magic and the alchemy happens, just like I said, when we zoom out, we feel ourselves like almost sitting within ourselves, sitting back within ourselves, and just witnessing. Witnessing. Ooh, so much is coming up right now. I'm about to go deep. I hope you're ready for it. Ah, we have ZC is here. I'll see you this weekend at my event in New York City. There's still spots available. Sign up. Karen is here. Hi, Karen. Okay. Yo, I love this topic so much. Oh my God. Okay. So witnessing is really huge. So the coaching that I do, all of the methodology and like the practices that I teach and share with the world, so much of it boils down to the quality of your inner witness, your ability to connect to loving awareness and this witnessing consciousness. This is a really huge principle and practice and philosophy within Tantra, is witnessing. It's so powerful to do meditation because it allows you to be in stillness so that you can be the witness of everything that's going on in your mind and in your body. If we don't take the time and space to get still and to get silent and to simply witness, then that's when we over-attach and identify with all of the stories and narratives and identities and belief systems and voices, and we think we are it. Okay? For example, let's say you're in a conflict with your partner and you're getting really triggered and you're feeling this rage and you just fully go into the projecting and the blaming and the shaming and the judgment and speaking really nasty to your partner. Like, that's what happens when we haven't cultivated this deep connection to that ever-present, grounded consciousness within us that has the capacity to witness our rage, witness our trigger, witness the shortness of our breath and how our heart is starting to beat faster and faster. That's when we can feel the trigger and the thoughts and projections coming up, and we don't spiral and get carried away in it because we have the ability to see it. This is so powerful. When you have the ability to see something, it's no longer in the shadows, which means you're no longer identifying as it, because you can now be in a relationship with it. So when you're shaming something, you're keeping it in the darkness and in the shadows. You can't see it. You're not allowing it to have the chance to see the light of day. This is the power of coaching and also of meditation, is like we allow these parts of ourselves that normally just live in the darkness to come to the surface, to come to the light, so we can see it and we can then have a relationship with it. And we no longer think we are it. We no longer judge it because we allow it to have the chance to be understood. Wow, that is a lot of hearts. Thank you for like 100 hearts. Thank you so much. I feel the love. Okay, something that I want to share with you is, I'm not going to take credit for this. This is David Bedrick's work. He's fucking incredible. I had him on my podcast called The Sensuous. I highly recommend that episode. But he teaches a lot about unshaming. And he teaches a lot of things, including the three keys to healing shame. And those three keys are seeing, believing, and feeling. And I already knew I wanted to dive into this before I got in on this live. So I pulled up on my computer the notes for one of the free masterclasses that I led in the past called The Alchemy of Shame. It's free on my website. Go sign up for it. It's incredible. But I'm going to read you what I wrote in my notes. So three keys to healing shame: seeing, feeling, believing. I'm going to go one by one. I'll read the notes for each one and then I'll just see what else comes up. So seeing, what does it mean to truly see a part of yourself? It means to truly look, respect, and see what is not seen. To affirm the unseen. To make the feelings visible and acknowledge them. And not just be surface level or face value. So to see what is beneath the surface, what is beneath the words that you're saying or the thing that you're expressing or the boundary that you're setting, what is beneath that? And can I let myself see it? Can I see the truth of what's here? I also wrote, it's a quality of this like caring, loving presence, and look for nonverbal signals and the sensory experience. So your subconscious is your body. There is no separation. Your subconscious world lives in your body. So this is how we, even if you've never been trained in like somatic healing or the subconscious, like this is why even just intuitively, you can pick up on when someone is saying something, but it feels a little off. Or you're like, I don't know why, like this person seems really nice or really cool or people seem to like them, but I just don't trust them. I just don't feel safe around them. And it's because you can pick up on the incongruence between the words that are coming out of their mouth and their body language and the signals that they're giving you and the energy that they're emitting. Like our animal bodies on a primal level, a subconscious level, are constantly communicating to each other. So subconsciously, we're picking up on things that intellectually and logically we just can't pick up on. So again, healing shame requires seeing what is happening beneath the surface instead of just letting it be this unconscious thing. I also wrote, so seeing also includes letting or allowing the shamed thing to feel, wow, they are really paying attention. They really want to know me. It's this feeling of like, wow, they're like inviting me forward. They want to see me. They want to know me. They want to understand me. And this is something that you can do for yourself. So many of us say like, oh, I hate this part of myself, or I hate that I do this, or I hate, I don't know, this thing about me. And we've never even taken a moment to get to know it or to understand it or to really look at it or see it or feel it or, yeah, to like know why it exists within us. So this element of seeing is deeply based on like a radical curiosity. Curiosity is one of my favorite words in the whole world. I love it so much. And it is one of the most profound and life-changing keys to living the life that you want to live, in my experience, is curiosity. And I know I'm going off on a tangent right now. I promise I'm going to get back to the other two keys to healing shame. But if you think about your essence as a small child and who you were as a kid, it was this like 24/7 unending energy of curiosity and awe and wonder and excitement and just like, wow, what is this? Why does this thing happen? Why does it work this way? Why are people doing this? Like, how does the world work? It's just this like, wow, this amazement and this curiosity. When we reawaken that within ourselves, it unlocks this like playfulness and this connection and this joy and this deep intimacy with life, because suddenly like we want to lean in. We want to like dig our nails into life and be like, yes, I'm here. A lot of people who have come to work with me, they like on the intake form or in the first session that we have, when we're gaining clarity on exactly where they are and what they desire and what they're heading towards, a lot of them say like currently in the beginning, they feel this sense of numbness or disconnection. They feel like they're just going through the motions. And what they desire is this sense of aliveness, connection, excitement, inspiration, intimacy, not just with like our sexual partners, but with life and with ourselves. We want to feel like we are an active participant in life. So your spiritual journey isn't necessarily about like ascending beyond your humanness or like completely detaching from reality. It's sinking in deeper into reality, into the world, into life, while not getting sucked up in it. That's a weird way of saying it. Not getting sucked into it, or like it's being in the world, but not of the world. It is maintaining this like expanded awareness, this witnessing consciousness, while immersing yourself into life and being an active participant. Okay. Key number two, are we ready? Key number two to healing shame, feeling. So this is what I wrote in my notes from the free masterclass. I wrote, to combat shame, we need someone to be moved by our experience. I'm going to say that again. To combat shame, we need to feel that someone is moved by our experience. But there's more notes, but I want to go deeper into this. So much of this comes back down to inner child healing. Like that is the core and the root of so fucking much of this work. And like when you're a little kid and something scared you, or you got a boo-boo, you got hurt, or even if like you created something and you're really proud of it, you're really excited about it, like one of the first things you do is you run up to the grown-up around you and you say, look what happened. Look what I made. Look what I created. Look what I can do. Or, oh my God, I'm hurting. And you want to feel the quality of the adult's presence. You want to feel that they care and that your feelings, your emotions, your experience, everything that you're expressing to them, you want to feel that it means something. And even though we're now in these adult bodies, we still have these inner children within us who desperately just want to know that we matter and that we mean something. And so I'm not saying that you should now have this unrealistic expectation that everyone that you approach should like care so deeply to their core about your feelings and your emotions, but you can do that for yourself and you can co-create a container within your partnership or within your friendships where you say that like, this is something that you're holding the standard for. You can have this conversation with your partner and say, hey, hopefully you're having this conversation in the beginning of the relationship, but it's never too late. You can always shift a relationship at any time if you're both willing. But you can say like, my vision, my desire, my intention for this relationship is for it to not just be like this thing that we're just passively in, like, oh yeah, I'm in this relationship because it's just happening and it's whatever. No. You can say, I want this relationship to be like this cauldron, this container of aliveness and support and reflection that is holding us, for both of us to be on our individual and collective journeys of self-actualization and self-realization and growth and becoming the best version of ourselves. I want to create a container between us where both of us feel supported and seen and held and loved and encouraged to grow and expand and self-actualize. I'm going to continue reading my notes. So we need to feel that they can empathize and imagine what it would feel like to experience this, what it would feel like to experience the thing that has been shamed. Let me give an example because that's usually more helpful. Let's say you are really ashamed of your jealousy. Let's say you have a pattern of feeling really jealous in your relationship or really possessive. So in order to unshame that feeling of jealousy, it requires feeling it and feeling that the witness, whether it's yourself witnessing the jealousy or another person holding space for you witnessing the jealousy, you need to feel that they can empathize and imagine what it would feel like to experience the jealousy. We need to be witnessed with compassion. Shame says that our feelings are not important and dismisses them. So that's when you know you're still holding on to shame, is when you're telling yourself that certain parts of yourself are not important, they don't have a place here. It's not worth your time to look at it. And you dismiss them. We need to feel like our story and our experience means something, as I said, and to trust the legitimacy of our experience. We need validation. And there can be a lot of negative connotation around validation. We like make ourselves wrong for seeking validation, but it really is a core human need in my experience. And it's so innocent. And again, it's not like living your life around this need for constant validation from other people, but can you validate yourself? Can you validate yourself? I want to go deeper into that, but let me read key number three to healing shame, which is believing. Shame disconnects us from believing in and trusting ourselves. We need to feel believed, which doesn't mean that it must be like scientific, objective truth, but we need to believe the truth in our story, experience, and feelings. We must believe that we are precious, important, and valuable, and that we have beauty, intelligence, power, gifts, and an authority worthy of being supported. Our feelings and deepest truths must be believed. So shamed people, or people who are carrying shame, they question and they doubt their inner experience and if they even have the right to be upset. This is so fucking huge. They distrust themselves. Let's all take a breath. I personally have a lot of emotion around this conversation just because I care about all people, but I particularly have like such a soft and tender spot for women because I've worked a lot with women and have had very like close friendships with a lot of women. And I know that this is such a tender area for us. Again, it's for all genders, but my work is very heavily focused on women. And so many of us have gone so long, like for so much of our lives, thinking that our feelings and our experience is not valid, and we don't have the right to feel that way. And so a lot of us keep ourselves in situations that are harmful or even abusive because we don't think our truth is valid. We don't think it's real. We don't believe in it. We think like, oh, well, it's not that bad. Or, oh, well, this is just how things are. Oh, well, who am I to want anything bigger or better than this? This is fine, you know? And so we settle and we downplay the truth of how we feel. And we don't realize that like our partnerships, our relationships, everything in our reality is a direct reflection of our perceived self-worth, our perceived value. If you want to know subconsciously what your sense of self-worth is, just open your eyes and look around you. Look at the relationships that you're in and it will tell you. What are you tolerating? What are you allowing? What are you choosing? How are you being treated? And how do you stand up for yourself or defend yourself? How do you set boundaries? How much of your truth and your desires and your emotions can you speak and communicate and allow them to be expressed? So going deeper into self-belief, the power of your belief cannot be like, we can't underestimate this. The power of your self-belief, I would argue, is one of the most determining factors of the ultimate outcome of your life and your destiny. It's literally how much do you believe in yourself? Like, there are a ton of highly successful, influential, wealthy people who are killing it. And yet, like, they're not necessarily any smarter than people who aren't as successful. They're not necessarily more naturally gifted or talented. There's nothing extra special about them per se. It's literally like their ability to have a high sense of self-belief and a high sense of self-worth and their ability to believe that they are worthy of being seen. They're worthy of putting themselves out there. They're worthy of getting back up and trying again and again and again and again. They're worthy of like moments when maybe they're receiving judgment or projection or people not believing in them. And they're like, no, I believe in myself. I believe in this vision. I believe in what I'm creating, and I'm going to keep going. That is so much of it. Or when it comes to your ability to experience like the most beautiful, tender, cosmic, expansive, spiritual sex of your life, like intimacy that changes your life, and you're just like, ah, like cracked open to God. So much of that, like, it doesn't have to do with, oh, this fancy Kundalini technique or this tip or this trick or this thing that I'm doing. It's your belief in yourself and your perception of yourself and your identity, and also your belief in what's possible. If you don't believe that something is possible, then yeah, it's not possible for you. If you say that something is impossible, okay, then it's not possible. It's not going to happen. If you believe, not just on a surface level, but like down in your fucking bones, you believe that something is possible, then yes, it is possible. It is so, because you believe it. It's interesting because like so much of this work, a lot of it is that work around identity and self-perception and self-worth and self-belief and cultivating like a really deeply rooted, established ecosystem within yourself of inner love and safety and acceptance. And as I said earlier on in this video, this ability to hold yourself in love no matter what. It's not about becoming something. It's not about achieving something. It's not like, for example, this weekend, little promotion in New York City, I'm about to host an in-person women's intensive called Foundations of Full Body Pleasure, Awakening the Sensuous Self. Go sign up. There's still spots available. But like your ability to experience full body pleasure, it's not adding things on top of yourself. It's not adding anything. It's taking things away. It's literally like creating more spaciousness within yourself. And it's a softening, a relaxing, an opening, and a radical allowance. It is allowing what's here to flow, allowing what's here to be opened up to, allowing yourself to be with and feel and experience everything that's already here. So we're not gonna like magically sprinkle in more pleasure. It's opening yourself up to be able to recognize and feel and expand and strengthen the pleasure and sensations that are already here, whether you're aware of it or not. Just because you currently feel a state of numbness doesn't mean that pleasure is not available to you. Numbness is like this layer that is usually built or created on top of a feeling, usually pain, that at some point in time was too much for our body to handle. That's when we become numb, because it's this part of yourself that loves you so deeply and wants you to survive, and it wants to protect you, that it's willing to create this layer of numbness so that your system doesn't get fried and overwhelmed from this thing that at one point in time was too much for you to handle. So that's why we feel numb. When we create an environment that is safe enough for that numbness to start to defrost and relax and open, and we have the courage and willingness and self-love to feel the unfelt feelings that have been stored beneath, that's when the ecstatic pleasure happens. That's when cosmic orgasms happen. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's not needing to get somewhere. It's like an unbecoming, an unraveling. It is an allowance of what's already here to flow through you. And that's when you're able to recognize that all of these things that we're desperately grasping for and seeking, or that we're desperately running away from and avoiding at all costs, it all comes down to sensations. It's all the same. It's all sensations. I posted this recently, but the difference between pain and pleasure is pain is a sensation that you're contracting and tensing against, And pleasure is a sensation that you're opening and expanding toward and into. This is alchemy. This is when it starts to feel really magical. And of course, there's a lot more to this conversation, like with trauma and somatic work and nervous system things and like feeling a deep embodied real sense of safety. But that's a conversation for a deeper container. But I hope you're able to pick up on like this truth that pleasure is not only your birthright, but it's also something that is accessible to you in any moment when we create the spaciousness and the softening and the presence and the beingness and the allowance for it to be here. And we believe that it's possible because where your focus goes, energy flows. So if we have been spending years and years and years with our focus and our attention in our thoughts and in our mind and our beliefs and our stories and our past and our trauma and our dissociation, no wonder we're not feeling any pleasure. And I don't say that in a way of judgment or shame. I say that from a place of validation. Like, it makes sense that you're not feeling the pleasure that you want to experience. It makes sense that you're not feeling the connection or the orgasm or the intimacy or the aliveness that you want to. It makes sense. Because if we've gone this long never bringing our awareness to pleasure, our awareness to sensation, our awareness to different parts of the body, then neurologically, like the brain is going to start to not pick up on the sensations that are already there and that are already happening. We're not going to be conscious of it. It's going to be like this static, this noise in the background that maybe we feel like we never have access to. It's a matter of bringing your awareness to the pleasure that's already here, no matter how small. As you are taking a bite of an apple, can you bring your awareness to like the part of you that is just savoring the juiciness or the crunch? Or if you just got it out of the fridge, maybe it's nice and cold and crisp. If you're walking outside, can you bring your attention to the part of you that innately knows how to savor and enjoy and indulge in that sensation of the wind on your skin and how good it feels? Notice how nothing is being added. There's no fancy tricks or techniques or tips. It's bringing your awareness, your presence, your witnessing consciousness to what you're already doing. As you're washing the dishes, can you take a breath? Can you slow down? And can you bring your awareness into the sensation of the warm water on your hands? It really comes back to the basics. And it's a lot less sexy than we want it to be, but it's literally like presence, curiosity, gratitude, self-love. Like, that's it, baby. That's the recipe for everything we want to fucking experience. It's not a matter of like needing to achieve something or obtain something or run away from something. It's sinking in deeper into your current reality, your current circumstances, your current situation exactly as it is, and recognizing the untouchable, ever-present divinity within and among all of it. We are kidding ourselves if we think, oh, once I get this thing, once I change my life in this way, once I become this thing, then I'll be free. If your freedom is dependent on that thing, then you are enslaved to that thing, no matter what it is. Reel it back in and come back to the here and now. This is like what every spiritual teacher or guru or mentor has been preaching since the beginning of time. Be here. Be with it all. Be here. Be with it all. And also, even in those moments where you do dissociate, can you be with that? Can you be with the dissociation? It's a matter of like not making any of it wrong. It's this childlike curiosity. I can't talk about this enough because this, almost more than anything else, is what really transformed the quality of my life and the quality of how I feel waking up in the morning or walking down the street or doing like really mundane, seemingly boring shit. It is how you are in relationship with everything. What is the quality of your relationship with the present moment? with your emotions, with your thoughts, with your dissociation, with your jealousy, with your pain? And can you relate to it? Almost like a video game or like this movie, and you have no idea what's going to happen next. And it's just this childlike wonder and amazement and excitement, like, whoa, holy shit, I get to be alive. I get to find out what happens next. Whoa, this is coming into my reality and it's really unexpected. Maybe it's disappointing. Maybe it's frustrating. Maybe it's really fucking annoying. But wow, what a gift that, like, it's this thing coming into my reality means that, like, now I get to know different parts of myself that were triggered or activated because of that thing. What a fucking gift that I get to know myself. I get to experience the full spectrum humanness journey. And I'm not saying this like, oh, you should bypass like heavy, dark emotions and just only feel joy and gratitude and appreciation. But that really can become your baseline. And I say this as someone who, no, I have never lived in a war zone, and I have immense, unimaginable fucking privilege as a white woman born and raised in America, college education. I've never been homeless. Like, I have a lot of privilege. And also, I've been through some really hard, dark shit. Like, oh my, the most gut-wrenching heartbreak and grief. And like, I've been through experiences where it literally felt like I lost everything, and experiences where I was just like in the darkest, most suffocating depression, where it literally felt like I was drowning and just like hopelessness. And I couldn't even imagine what if I would ever like smile again. And even through that, I would not change that for the world. And I actually feel myself getting a little emotional. I would not change that for anything, because being able to breathe, being able to be alive, being able to feel anything at all is such a fucking gift. Are you kidding me? And it's a matter of our ability to remember that. Remember. That's why people who have these near-death experiences suddenly usually have these huge spiritual awakenings, or they change their whole lives, or they like finally take a stand for what they're no longer tolerating, and then they like go off and travel the world or start a business or do something crazy that they've always wanted to do. It's because when we are gifted that moment of experiencing such a contrast, it allows us to know the depths of who we are and what we're truly made of and what really exists within us. And it gives us a bigger capacity to be with all of life. If we've been with that much darkness, guess what? You now have the ability to savor that much more light, that much more love and bliss and gratitude. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and he was talking about how when you ask for something from the universe, when you are calling something in, you're manifesting something, you're trying to create something, God, goddess, divine, universe, whatever you believe in, is going to gift you the exact opposite of that, most likely, because you need context. You need an orientation of where you are in time and space and reality. So, for example, if you are asking the universe, please, I want to turn left. In order to even know and appreciate that you're turning left, you need to know what it's like to turn right. If you want to be able to have the most beautiful love that just cracks you open and is just like sacred and delicious and all-consuming, like you want to know true love, you better believe you also have to know grief and loss and emptiness. If you want to know full spectrum aliveness and power and vitality and creativity, you also must know death, like inner death and nothingness, or maybe numbness, darkness, loss. That's such an inescapable part of the human experience, is contrast and duality. And also, as you're experiencing the duality, just like I keep referencing in this live, can you zoom out and like maintain that non-dual universal awareness? That's when life becomes really fucking magical and it feels like you're in a video game. Because literally moment to moment, you're like, oh, someone cut me off in traffic. Oh, someone, I don't know, is being an asshole. And you're like, okay, if this was a video game, if this is the movie of my life, if this is the story that I'm writing, what do I want to happen next? What energy, what emotion do I want to choose right now? How do I want to show up? Do I want my entire life to be like sulking and disappointed and feel like everything is happening to me and I'm a victim and oh my God, like it's always me? Again, self-belief. If you believe, oh, it's always me, bad things always happen to me, then yes, that is the reality that you're speaking out into the world. Or do you want to relate to those situations like, okay, if this is a video game, what do I want to happen next? Can I meet it with this curiosity and this playfulness? Okay, I'm going to look at the comments. The pure joy of awareness is liberating. Yes, cannot agree more. The fact that we get to use our senses is such a gift. Agreed. Without contrast, we wouldn't experience awareness. Exactly. Exactly. Like contrast can be incredibly painful and confusing and disorienting. And it's also an indescribably incredible gift because your ability to know pain gives you the ability to know pleasure. Your ability to know loss gives you the ability to know love. That's duality. And it's like in the trauma healing and somatic world, we call it pendulation. And in order to move along on your healing journey, pendulation is huge, which is literally like swinging between experiences. So if you're someone who has spent a lot of your life being dissociated, first of all, can you genuinely feel acceptance and love for the part of yourself that is dissociating because that part of you is trying to protect you because it doesn't feel safe to feel what's happening in your body. So that part of you is saying, oh, we don't currently have the capacity or the inner resources to feel that. Let me dissociate it. So going back to pendulation, you healing doesn't mean that you're never going to experience dissociation again. It's pendulation. And yes, over time, the more you do this, you're probably going to experience dissociation less and less and less, and you're going to be more anchored in this sense of embodiment, connection, and presence. But part of that journey is your ability to pendulate, to swing between both experiences. So can you let yourself be in the pendulation, be in the dissociation, and then pendulate your way back to presence and feeling and being with the sensation? This is also what I guide clients through in one-on-one coaching containers, pendulating back into the dissociation or back into whatever emotion or trigger or activation you're experiencing, and then going back into embodiment, connection, presence, feeling, safety, whatever the thing is that you're swinging back and forth from. So another, I keep having the thought, okay, maybe I'll end this here, but then more things come up. So maybe this will be the last thing. And I just forgot it. Let's see, what was I going to say? I think I really forgot it. Okay. Maybe it'll come back, but if not, I feel like I covered a lot of ground here. Also, my hair is doing some crazy things. That's why I keep fixing it. But if you haven't heard, my group program, Erotic Revival, is officially open for applications. This program is no joke, y'all. Like, this is an intensive, and you are not, like, if you fully show up, you're not going to be the same on the other side. And it's not that you're going to, like, turn into this other person. You rather are going to unbecome everything that you're not, and you're going to re-become everything that you are. Re-become your core, your truth, your expression, And like the pleasure and aliveness and power and confidence and creativity and love that is your birthright and that is your essence. So Erotic Revival is in almost 4 months. I believe it's 15 weeks, but a 4 month container. And we're going really, really deep into somatic healing and somatic exploration. We're going deep into meditation and ritual, erotic embodiment, pleasure practices, and energy cultivation, among many other juicy things. So the people that tend to come into my world, also this is a program only for women, but the people who tend to come into my world are those who, like me, grew up in a family where they felt like they were kind of the odd one out, or they were the weird one, and they carried this story that maybe was true, that like they don't belong, they're not understood, they're the black sheep or the unicorn in the family. Yeah, they always kind of felt like an other. And also people who are deeply sensitive. Maybe in childhood or even now you told yourself, why am I so much? I'm too much. I'm too sensitive. I'm too emotional. Why am I always feeling this way? And like you felt this pressure to downplay and diminish the bigness of the force and the sensitivity within you. So that now either looks like maybe shaming or diminishing of your sensitivity. It can also look like numbness because it didn't feel safe to be sensitive. And so Erotic Revival guides you to reclaim your sensitivity and to build a relationship with it where it no longer feels like a punishment or something that is a curse or it's holding you back, but it feels like a core aspect of your purpose and your gifts and your wisdom and your power and also your spiritual connection. Like if you are a highly sensitive person, that is such a gift. That is such a gift. Like, because that's why we're here as humans. We're here to feel. We're here to play and interact and connect and relate. So your sensitivity allows you to pick up on things that other people aren't able to pick up on, whether it's in the like energetic and spiritual realms, whether it's your intuition, whether it's someone else's feelings or your own feelings, you can pick up on things. So this guides you through a process of like reawakening that sensitivity and harnessing it as a skill and a gift and a practice. And this is for you if you're someone who maybe carries shame around your sexuality and you want to rewrite your sexual narrative, your story, your identity. You want to feel at home in your body and your pleasure, your orgasm and your sexuality. You also want to feel more literate in your arousal and your pleasure, instead of it feeling like this abstract, elusive thing that feels really confusing and you just don't know what's going on. So you're going to deeply understand how feminine sexuality and spirituality operates and functions. So this also isn't only like this airy, fairy conceptual program. Like we're going deep into the concrete, tangible, physical, somatic realms. So you understand your own anatomy, your own sexual anatomy. You understand your pleasure. You understand like your orgasmic circuits and how all of this fucking works. Again, like if you want, I know you just got a taste of me and my energy and my teachings through this live, but if you want to go even deeper for free, I mentioned it earlier, but I just a few days ago hosted a free class called Soften. So go to the link in my bio to sign up, and to feel into if this journey, this container would be supportive for you at this time. But yeah, it's going to be fucking incredible. And it includes 8 live coaching calls as a group. So group sessions in community, because we are not designed as humans to do this alone. You also get, which I'm very excited about, 2 private coaching sessions with me. What? Yeah, that's right. You get 2 private coaching sessions. So you get one-on-one personalized, customized support, all eyes on you, all attention on you, so I can like fully guide you through your own customized process of whatever needs to be integrated or seen or felt or strengthened within you. You're also going to get lifetime access to our online learning portal, which includes more resources and support, guided practices, guided audio meditations, and also sexual energy cultivation practices, and all of the recordings of the live calls. If you want the VIP upgrade, you can also choose to add that to your experience so that you get even more one-on-one support. But yeah, I cannot be more excited for Erotic Revival. Super early bird discounts and bonuses. There's a lot of bonuses. That is available for if you apply for Erotic Revival before March 19th. And the very last final deadline to apply is April 10th. And also, I really love the application process because first you're going to fill out the application, which I designed to take you on a whole ass journey of its own. So it's designed to like guide you to get crystal clarity on where are you at? What do you truly want? What would be most supportive to you? Like, what do you want to claim? What do you most desire? Like, what do you most want to get out of this experience or out of your life and your intimacy in general? And also what might be holding you back? So you get to fill out the application. Then we're going to have a pressure and expectation free 30-minute desire mapping call, which is like a clarity call. So I'll guide you to gain even more crystal clarity on exactly what you desire. I'll answer any of your questions. We'll connect. I'm not going to do any like weird, icky, sleazy sales technique. It's very low key, chill call just to interact and get to know each other and to really genuinely feel into if this would be a mutually good fit and if Erotic Revival is the best fit for you and if this would really support you in what you're needing and wanting right now. And then after that, if both of us are like, fuck yes, this is a fit, then you make your first payment and you're in. So that is the enrollment process. It starts in April and I hope you join us. It's going to be magical. So those are the current offerings. Wow, I feel like this was really long. I don't even know what time I started this live. Thank you for watching and listening. And please, please, please comment below or send me a DM just letting me know what landed for you, what resonated, what are you taking away? What was the thing that I said that you were like, holy shit, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Please let me know. It really makes my day to connect with you and for this to be a two-way street and not just me talking at you. Whew. Okay. I'm sending love, and I hope you remember that you are so worthy of love and of pleasure and of whatever the fuck is in your heart that you want to experience in this lifetime.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at I am Nadine Hamilton. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.